Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.
Before the creation of the fifth age in which we live, the world had already been destroyed four times over. The first had been devoured by jaguars sent by the god Tezcatlipoca after he was struck from the sky by his brother Quetzalcoatl. The second world that followed had been swept clean by the mighty winds of the very same Quetzalcoatl after its inhabitants had descended into savagery and showed no reverence for their gods. The third world perished in a great rain of fire that left nothing but ashes. From these ashes, the Aztec gods rebuilt the world, and this time its caretaker was to be the goddess Chalchutlique, she of the jade skirt. Accused of caring for humans out of selfishness and only loving them for their praise and worship, the goddess wept tears of blood that flooded the world and ended the age of the fourth sun. At the beginning of the time of the fifth sun, the gods of the Aztec pantheon gathered within their magnificent city. Here, the gods sacrificed themselves to usher in a new age. This city still stands today, abandoned long before the Aztec became a mighty empire. Who built the monumental pyramids that the Aztec found and led them to name this sacred place the City of the Gods? What secrets have archaeologists uncovered since its excavation? What mysteries still intrigue scientists to this very day? Join the theorists as they take a stroll down the Avenue of the Dead within the truly lost city of Teotihuacan.
Welcome to Alien Theorist Theorizing, Case File 140, Teotihuacan.
Teotihuacan.
I'm Braden.
I'm Zell.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Andrew.
Yeah, yo.
Teotihuacan.
Ancient city. First off, we've got to start on some sad news.
Terrible.
If 2020 hasn't crushed you enough, during Operation Inspiration... yesterday, one of the snowbirds, which is kind of like they're really close flying jets, like they always put on an air show. One of them crashed. One of the pilots passed away. The other one seriously injured, and they crashed into a house. As if 2020 couldn't get even worse. It wouldn't even let us have Operation Inspiration.
Couldn't so let us have
our
it.
Hearts go out to the snowbirds and everyone's families involved there. Tragic news in Canada.
Yeah, that was... You watch the video and you're like, this can't be a real video. It was.
Yeah, it looked like they were trying to get the jet back towards the airport. That's what I took from it.
Immediately after takeoff, some type of issue. They tried to turn back. They lost lift.
Well, apparently what I was listening to today is like what the plan in those situations is, they try to gain altitude to try and get time, like buy themselves time to sort whatever the fucking problem happened. Yeah. And that's why you could see them, like they shot straight up, right?
Turned around, shot
and
up.
It looks like they lost power completely.
They just dropped out of the sky. And then they were so low to the ground when they ejected, the parachutes didn't have time to open completely.
Well, so what I was hearing was that they hit each other when they injected.
Could have been something
and that's,
like that.
And that's maybe potentially why one of the pilots passed away.
That's terrible.
Terrible. Yeah. Terrible news.
Horrifying, man.
Something something good's going to happen soon. I can feel it.
Yeah, 2020, can't, I mean, dare I say it, can't keep it up.
Like, no.
Like, we need a break at some point. It's been something almost every week. All right. Well, let's start off with a UFO. Why don't we fire up the Randomtron, see what it... Maybe it'll give us a good one.
All right.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Here we go. Let's do it. Come on, baby. Good news, bear.
Oh, I'm not getting anything.
One second.
Delayed response.
Let me fucking smash this thing. Nope. Starting again, you fucker. Get out of here. There we go.
Yeah.
Goose file, baby.
Well, these are never good, so we're already off to a bad start.
Already off to a bad start.
Thanks, 2020.
Yeah, fuck. You're the mongoose.
Unfortunately.
It's fair, yeah.
So, listen. You know, before we start these things, we know. You know what I mean? I'm going to talk like this is the first person, even though it frustrates some people.
Yeah.
Small group.
But... You know what I mean? It's the only way I can, you know, tell the story properly, but it didn't happen to me. It happened to a friend of mine, which we already all know. So in this situation.
And this one from when you told me earlier, like I've heard this story, it's not even a friend of a friend. This friend like doesn't even like this other guy that it happened to. So really it's like, this is like sixth party information.
Few friends removed. Yeah.
He's actually kind of ashamed.
Yeah.
To even know the person, but anyways.
There you go.
So this takes place in a rather prolific part of a large city in Western Canada. You know, it's part of the city that's maybe a little bit more run down and, you know what I mean, popularized for drug use and homelessness. Yeah. It's very unfortunate. Mm. And in this,
like just coming to like my head, like for my sake, when I'm thinking of like what you're describing here, my head immediately goes to downtown East Side Vancouver, but like, I don't know where it is, but like, that's what I think of similar. When I'm trying to,
it's a perfect way. And you know what? There's a park in this downside of Vancouver that would, you know, fit this story perfectly.
Oh, like Oppenheimer Park.
Oppenheimer Park. Exactly.
Yeah. That's okay. Well then, I can picture it. Yeah. Okay. Now I got a good mental picture here.
So Oppenheimer Park, AKA Tent City, Vancouver, British Columbia, downtown East Side. Obviously didn't happen there, but we're using that just to kind of paint the picture for you.
It looks like it.
Yeah.
So they're in the midst of tearing said tent city down. And while they're removing these tents, they come across someone who is suffering from an apparent drug overdose. Now, you know, obviously they don't know. All they can see is drug paraphernalia and a unresponsive person. So they'd call 911. Which we all know our friend of a friend of a friend of a friend works for 911.
Yeah,
of course.
So he responds, and right away, there's about four cops surrounding this tent. I'm like, okay, what the hell's going on here? And the cop's like, yeah, no worries. Like, you know, we found, you know, a shotgun and some knives. So we're here. We moved them. They're good. You're safe. Patient's in there. You know what I mean? She's not breathing. This and that. We go in, do a quick little vital sign, check the pupils. Obvious opioid related overdose. So we do our thing initially in these scenarios, which I'm sure the majority of the, you know, general public knows, you know what I mean? Opioids are a respiratory depressant. So, you know, you overdose, you're not breathing. So our number one tool is to use a BVM and breathe for them, right? Because they have no respiratory drive. So I'm sitting there and my friend's sitting there bagging this patient, and it's first thing in the morning and not everything's clicking. And, you know, and he can kind of, I'm looking around, you know, look over to my partner. I'm like, you mind if you could drop 0.4 in Narcan? We'll start 0.4 intramuscular, go from there. And, you know, I see my partner slowly backing away out of the tent. And I'm like, what are you doing? What's going on? And doesn't say anything. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, well, that was weird. Like, maybe she forgot something in the ambulance, you know, no big deal. And, you know, about 30 seconds later, I had a cop come up and tap me on the shoulder, and he's like, we're gonna drag the patient out of the tent. And I'm like, why would we do that? You know what I mean? Like, we got this, fine, I feel safe, everything's great. And he's like, just look up real quick and then just grab a hold of her and we'll drag her out. And I'm like, okay. So I look up and I'm like, I don't I don't know what I'm looking for here. I'm like, I'm assuming there's some type of weapon or, you know what I mean? I'm like, this is no big deal.
Booby trap.
And you know what I mean? I'm sitting there and I'm looking up and it's a little bit dark. And then he flashes his flashlight up on the fucking railing. That's, you know what I mean? On the tent. And I see these eyes looking back at me.
Oh,
and I'm like, that's peculiar.
Mongoose.
Holy fuck. Fucking boa constrictor weaved up in the fucking raftings of this fucking tent. I was gone. Dropped the BVM, fucking gone. Whew. I was ready. Like I could have ran the fucking 40-yard dash in like 3.9.
I've seen this story online. If this is the same story,
I have a picture of said boa constrictor that was sent to me from a friend of mine, and okay. We can link that on the fucking live stream.
And this is just a picture of a boa constrictor for reference.
Yes.
From an unrelated incident.
In a tent somewhere.
In a tent. Similar somewhere. Tent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh! Man, how big is this thing? This thing looks like it's 12 feet long. It's hard to tell, I guess, because it's all coiled up, but...
Be honest with you, I wasn't...
Man, we should have called... you know who you should have called? Our fucking buddy, Lizard Caveman.
Lizard King, or whatever.
Yeah.
He would have snatched that up.
Well,
no
listen,
problem.
Like, everybody knows mongooses fight snakes, but, you know, that's not a cobra. I'd fight a cobra, not a boa constrictor. That's just not my type of stuff.
Well, it wasn't you anyway, so if you were there, you would have fought it.
Exactly. Yeah, I wish my friend of mine had a cool, like, you know, Indiana Jones, like, I hate snakes catchphrase, but no, I couldn't even say anything. Shit his pants and ran out of the fucking
tent. It's more of like a, oh!
Oh, yeah, like a fucking full dropped a deuce in his pants and got the fuck out of there. Forgot the patient and everything. Went back in for him, though. Don't worry.
So
that's a good case.
Your friend got the snake out and then saved the patient.
No, did not touch the snake.
Killed the snake.
Literally stuck an arm through the zipper of the fucking tent, grabbed a piece of clothing and dragged it out one arm. What's not going back in there? Not a fucking chance. Left our O2 tank in there, everything. Like, I'm not kidding.
I'm out.
Yeah, fuck that shit. I don't get paid enough for that.
No, that's the last thing you're expecting is a fucking invasive snake in a
Listen,
tent.
Listen, there's wild shit down there. Okay, like giant rats, cockroaches, bed bugs, everything like that. I'm not expecting fucking boa constrictors.
No.
Like, how is it even surviving in this climate?
Well, right
not
now,
not to
right
mention
now,
if this
fine.
Place is anything like the downtown East Side, the people are something else. Like if where this was
Zombieland.
Is similar,
Zombieland.
Yeah, it's right. It can be pretty crazy.
I mean, that thing's...
I've seen some shit down there that still haunts me. Just walking to the P&E. Like,
well, the worst part about this, though, is they've decided, they're like randomly like, we're going to fucking clean up Oppenheimer Park. You know, it's a beautiful park. We're going to clean it up. There's fucking 60 tents in Oppenheimer Park with I don't know how many people that live in those fucking tents. All the shelters are closed in the downtown East Side right now. Where the fuck are these people going?
It's going to make many small camps.
Oh, buddy, you drive down Granville right now, and there's every single shop, there's people living in them. Like, it's crazy. They're scattered. They're as far as fucking Burnaby now. Like, they're everywhere.
Yeah, it's wild times with that shit.
Like, it's nuts. Just reopen Riverview.
Yeah, send them
Seriously?
Back.
Oh, yeah.
Open it up.
It's where they came from, right?
Not before we get in there.
Yeah.
Let us go in there, play a Ouija first. All right, let's get onto this task at hand. Teotihuacan. So this is a ancient city located in Mexico.
Let's get back to some ancient stuff.
Ancient civilizations. What's Teotihuacan all about?
Dan, send us down the road.
Well, Teotihuacan is been called one of the first great cities in the Western Hemisphere. It is perhaps one of the oldest. It's definitely, I think, in the top 10 of oldest inhabited cities. It is abandoned. It was abandoned at some point, probably in about the 5th or 6th century BC is what I think they're making the call for it at this minute. The great thing, or the mysterious thing about Teotihuacan, it is genuinely a mystery. We don't know who built it. Exactly. We're not sure who built it. Some people say they have a lot of scientists, people who have studied it, spent lifetimes studying this city, think they have a pretty good idea. But in reality, No clue. Not really. No one knows 100% who built this city. The first real record of us of the city actually being discovered was by the Aztecs in the 1400s. Like a group of Aztecs warriors that were sweeping out of the south from their northern territories in Mexico came upon this city, and it was completely empty. No people living there, no evidence of people living there.
Now, was it due to a volcanic eruption, right, Dan? Like that's what caused them to kind of scatter and go look around for a new place to settle.
That's one of the theories. One of the theories is that perhaps at some point there was now you can kind of say almost perhaps volcanic eruptions bookended the Teotihuacano culture. So you can say that, yes, maybe a volcano caused people to leave the city. There's some sort of people are saying perhaps there was some sort of revolt or something like that. When the Aztecs discovered it, they gave it the name Teotihuacan, which means city of the gods, or it can also be interpreted to mean where one travels to become a god, because they had believed when they came upon the city that only gods could have built something like this, something as grand like this. The state that you see it in today, if you look up pictures of it, that is pretty much what the Aztecs found. Some of it, a good chunk of it has been excavated, but the three large pyramid structures that you had. So you had the pyramid of the sun, the pyramid of the moon, and the pyramid of the feathered serpent are probably the three largest structures. There's also a couple other ones. I know there's this Ciudadedo, which is known as the citadel. And then there's probably a couple other complexes or what they call like apartment complexes where the people lived around the city.
Yeah, like single story condos. Like apartment complex. Yeah.
Right. So Teotihuacan, they believe the city was probably established sometime, or at least the general area of the city, the central area of the city, was probably established somewhere around 200 BC. And it reached it. They say it's period of the highest development is their estimates. They put it between 100 BC and 650 AD, somewhere in there.
Big range.
Right. And relative size, it's actually comparable to Imperial Rome at the time. So square mileage wise, it's about as big as Rome was. Scientists, archaeologists put the population size of Teotihuacan somewhere around like 100,000, maybe 100,000, maybe 200,000. Not sure. When you compare that to Rome, Rome was about 500,000. So the population density is a little bit different.
But Rome was the biggest city in the world at the time, right?
Right. So, but Rome was also built in it. The building, the building layouts were very different. Roman structures were mostly multi-tiered. They had multi-tiered housing. So, and all of the, most of the structures in Teotihuacan that they found and excavated were all kind of single story ranch style structures about where people lived.
So spread out far over a larger distance.
And also Rome. another really important thing to remember about Rome is it wasn't built in a day. So
that's, there you go.
That's what they want you to believe. Again, Teotihuacan, the archaeologists, what they've identified is they said that Teotihuacan doesn't really start taking off till that 100 BC era. They're saying that perhaps this was a time that we do have evidence of a large volcanic eruption in the mid to late first century. It was the volcano known as Popocatépetl, which is southeast of Mexico. And they
there's
said
no that, way you said that right.
Mexico City.
Popocatépetl. Like that's how you say it.
Popocatépetl?
He's Popocatépetl. Let's be honest. He's also butchering fucking Teotihuacan.
Teotihuacan. Yeah, that's what I read too.
Fucking Teotihuacan. Come on now. It's the American pronouncing of it.
This volcanic eruption, geologists put it at a VEI-6, which is just under VEI-7, which is the biggest. Like Mount St. Helens was a VEI-7 eruption.
Seven is the biggest eruption in the that you could have in a volcano?
Pretty much.
I loved your description of that. It's a VI 6, which is one under, just below a 7.
Which is like the top.
But I think a VI 7 it is one above a VI 5.
As a matter of fact.
To place it right in the middle between those two. Just so you know.
Maybe a VEI 6.5. Maybe somewhere in there.
Yeah, you can throw a couple decimal points in there.
Sure.
Why not? Okay.
There's the prevailing theory now is that that volcanic eruption caused a migration of sorts. A lot of other cultures ended up moving into Teotihuacan. So you had this mix. Yeah, Teotihuacan. Andrew likes to say, is what caused a kind of flourishing of a cosmopolitan city of Teotihuacan. So now you have this mixture of cultures. You had Zapotec and Mixtec and even Maya cultures intermixing in one city. And then it grew from there.
So it was like a modern or an ancient New York City style, or as a melting point of like a bunch of different cultures.
Refugees escaping whatever.
Yeah,
prosper.
Yeah, that's a good comparison. That would be, I think you'd be about right.
So this like melting point of civilizations is what they think probably built this, because they don't really know.
Well, no, it's not that they, maybe they helped build it, sure. The Teotihuacan culture actually from that point kind of exploded, and scientists have said that they've been able to find that the Teotihuacano culture may have been the basis, very much like how Greek culture influenced Roman culture. The Teotihuacano culture influenced the Maya and the Aztec, and they were like the beginning. They were like the proto culture, because a lot of the art and sculpture and things like that, the artifacts that we can find, they find influences from Teotihuacan in those. So in the Mayan sculptures and architecture, Aztec culture and architecture, all of that seems to kind of go back and find its origins in Teotihuacan.
Right. Yeah. Just by looking at it, you can tell, like, we went to Chicken Pizza and the building structures of the step pyramid or the step pyramids are very, like, they resemble each other quite well.
So, like, I know we don't have any hard facts as far as who built this, but from what I like, now this could be subjective as far as the person's articles that I read, Marco Vigato, it was his name, but he was explaining that what he was thinking was the fact that the people who migrated to Teotihuacan built, like, there was already ruins there that they built on top of.
Right.
Yeah. That's one theory that's been put forth, is that perhaps that there's some people have said that there's some evidence to believe that the pyramids that are built there are built on top of pyramids that had already existed.
But that's also, you know, we've heard that other times with that culture, right? Chichen Itza
is a perfect example of that.
Yeah, they had the, right?
They just build a new pyramid on top.
Well, and they have the evidence of megalithic structures, right? Those big fucking stone blocks and shit like that they've used to like backfill these pyramids.
Well, yeah, like you can see, like I always watch when I look at megalithic structures, I look at number one, Graham Hancock. Number two, this guy, Brian Forrester. You ever heard of Brian Forrester? He goes through the same way, like goes through all, he'll like go through all the buildings of it. And he'll like, well, if you look here, like these temples or these pyramids all show like levels of construction. Like you could see like, okay, someone built it like this here and then was added onto here and it was refined here. And he's like, it was probably built over 200 years. That's what he came to the conclusion. But like this is the same as like Chicken Pizza, as in the megalithic stones, they are using like bigger stones than we would try and use now, but they're not like using megalithic stones as like the interior of the Great Pyramid, which is like 300 ton blocks. But it is a step pyramid, and it's the biggest, I'm pretty sure it's what, second biggest pyramid in the world? Second biggest complex?
Pyramid of the Sun.
Yeah. The Pyramid of the Sun here is the second, has the same footprint as Giza, but it's like, what's Giza's?
It's a lot shorter. I think it's like 200 feet shorter. It's
yeah.
It's not as tall, but it is as wide.
Yeah, Giza's like 440 feet, and this one's 240 or 220.
Right.
But it's not about length, it's about girth. Yeah, it's about girth. It's about girth. Anyways,
that's
so,
great.
So let's if you're watching the live stream, you can follow along. If you are listening to the podcast, we'll explain to you. Let's go through the complex because there's the three main big temples, and then they're connected by like a 2.2 kilometer avenue called Avenue of the Dead.
Badass
name. So let's fucking pull it up here. Let's start. So at this.
Ooh, hold on.
What do you want?
Enhance.
Want me to enhance? Enhance. Starting.
Enhance.
Starting with the one end, Temple of Quetzalcoatl. And so this is the smallest of the three step pyramids. So if you're following along, it's a step pyramid. It looks like it has like, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 steps to get up. But on the backside, there's another set of stairs, and it kind of leads to more of a mound. Like this one is much less refined. So a lot, that's what Brian Forrester's saying is like, this was the original. And then the one built in front
is newer,
which kind of makes sense. And a lot of the stuff,
yeah, just the like, other ones eroded and stuff.
Yeah. A lot of the stuff, just like Chicken Pizza and other like, sites around the world is they have been, what's the word I'm looking for? Refurbished.
Well, so the thing with this too is like, we can only assume this is what the original stuff looked like because you're seeing what they wanted you to see. What their depiction and what they wanted to build on top of that was. It could be something completely fucking different.
Like, yeah. What do you mean, underneath?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Center? Like, we're just seeing what they, if that's right. Like, if 1,000 years before these people migrated to Teotihuacan and they decided to build on top of these things, we're only seeing what they would want us to see. You know what I mean? We would have no idea what these fucking pyramids would look like.
Well, I mean, when they excavate, they find the steps. Some of them are more intact than the others, and what I mean by refurbish is they've found the piece that looks the most complete and try to reverse engineer the stuff that's been destroyed by nature to look like it, pretty much.
Well, that now so, right? But if it's true that they actually did build on top of these things, right? Who the fuck knows what they look like?
So you're saying there could be like something in the interior?
Totally.
Possibly. Maybe.
Now, I don't know about the interior, but below the temple, as recent as 2003, they had found a big old tunnel underneath there, which was they found by chance, which was actually pretty neat. That was a pretty big deal back in 2003.
It was a huge thing.
It was a huge fucking thing.
It was so there's a huge rainstorm and a sinkhole appeared and they're like, oh, fuck, how are we going to fix this site? Because that's a big form of tourism. And upon further inspection, they like were excavating the site. They realized they stumbled into a man-carved tunnel with boulders blocking the end of it, but actually it's like the sinkhole fell in the middle of the tunnel, so they're able to see that this tunnel continued on.
Right, and they were excavating that thing for like a decade.
For 10 years
they were excavating it.
Yeah, so
and it's just like they found all kinds of cool shit in there because the Temple of the Feathered Serpent, that actual pyramid sits in what they think is the geocentric middle center of the city, is the actual center of the city.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could say that because right now, like a modern city is built all around. So if you excavated all the other shit around, yeah, like no. you could say that.
Yeah,
was a
no,
center.
when they've mapped out what they have on the outsides, like using LIDAR and things like that,
right,
and finding excavations of like kind of the orbiting communities and suburbs or whatever you want to call them. Barrios or whatever, they're saying that the Temple of the Feathered Serpent sits in the middle.
Now, like, are we sure that these are man-made tunnels and they weren't created by, like, lava? You know what I mean? Like, volcano-induced?
They are pretty certain that these are carved because there's actually depictions of, like, what looks like water and stuff. And, Dan, maybe correct me, is this where they found some mercury, like liquid mercury in these tunnels?
Well, I'm not sure if they found actual liquid mercury. I think they found evidence that there could be liquid mercury. They found cinnabar, which cinnabar is the solid form of, is, well, basically the solid unrefined
they
form.
They had cinnabars
of,
back then?
Yes.
You think about Cinnabon.
That's crazy.
Cinnabon.
Cinzeal.
Oh, Cinnabon. Yeah. All right. Okay. Sorry. Continue.
So they found a large quantity of cinnabar underneath there, but I'm not sure if they found actual liquid mercury. Like they found evidence. I think they thought they had would find murky. But when they fully excavated it, yes, like you said, they found evidence of a water line in the end chamber beneath the. There's actually a huge chamber that sits underneath the Temple of the Feathered Serpent.
Yep.
They said it sits in like a certain cross shape. And there they had found these remarkable figures. They had found four of these figures were positioned in such a way that they were gazing into this what would be the exact center. And the archaeologist who excavated it, Sergio Gomez, like he said, we have no idea how they lined up the bottom chamber with the exact center of the temple.
The top platform, like, yeah.
Right. So they have no idea how they did it. And to address Andrew's point about perhaps it was a volcanic tunnel, they found stone tools, like they found evidence of tools that they used to excavate it. So they did use stone tools.
Yeah.
Stone and wood tools. That's,
they found dragon glass, had. Dan. They found obsidian down there.
Right. Dragon and actually Teotihuacan was actually known as a pretty like advanced in their obsidian production, which some archaeologists, some anthropologists say that's perhaps what made them.
I heard they had
powerful, an economic powerhouse.
I heard they had resident dragons.
It only makes sense.
Resident dragons melting down sand.
All right, hey, before we get too far into dragons, let's take a quick beer break.
Okay, I gotta take a quick beer break. I actually gotta pee too, so let's. We'll be right back in just a second.
Look, you like Dan, and you got a trip to Thailand coming up, and you want to impress the locals? Well, then you want Rosetta Stone. It's been the trusted expert for 30 years, with millions of users and 25 different languages offered. It's got fast language acquisition. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. No English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. It's convenient, flexible learning anytime, anywhere. Learn on the go with mobile app or at your desktop on your own schedule. Rosetta Stone has amazing value. Lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's a lifetime access to 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off.
Sure, there's competitors to Rosetta Stone, but Rosetta Stone offers more languages and a lifetime membership. You could go over to Babbel and get 60% off, but it's not for a lifetime. That's why we're promoting Rosetta Stone today. All right, Theorites, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Alien Theorist Theorizing listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your damn life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today or look for the link in the show notes. Peace!
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
All right.
Yeah, one of the things that I had kept reading was like, why is there pools of mercury underneath Teotihuacan temples? So like I was expecting like some like, you know,
river of mercury
scene from some fucking weird ass like, you know, like sequence from The Mummy Returns or something, where they go into the chamber. There's just like this pool of silvery liquid. Everyone's painted in gold, getting so sick from bathing in it.
Well, I mean, that's one of the comparisons that they had put when they found evidence of mercury, or what they thought could be liquid mercury. They compared it to the temple the burial of one of the famous emperors of China, where they said that there is perhaps somewhere in their burial chamber is a scale model of their city, which is covered in rivers of mercury. And it's one of the reasons that they can't excavate it, because they're not 100% sure. They actually don't. They're not sure if that actually exists. It's a legend and people say that's true, but they actually have no idea if that is true. So it kind of stops them, but archaeologists, like, we have to be safe anyways. But speaking of gold, they also found evidence of pyrite, fool's gold, which had been actually spread over the tunnel. And they would say that this whole, back when it was a fully functioning city, this chamber would have perhaps been a place for rituals by the Teotihuacano priests, that they would have filled this chamber with water. Water was supposed to represent kind of the underworld or the beginning of creation, because the Mesoamerican creation myths all start with like primordial water, and rising from that water was earth, and the gods all came from that. So they would kind of, you know, their interpretation of it was these priests would, you know, have a procession down through this dark tunnel, you know, having their torches out, lighting up the chamber that was covered in pyrite. So you'd get this kind of
sparkly.
You get a sparkly celestial effect.
It's cool.
As you went there, because they did find evidence of offerings, you know, jewelry, animal sacrifice. I think there's also some evidence of human sacrifice, which was part of some of the they definitely did find evidence of human sacrifice, which was part of their culture. And so you had this, and they were probably all high as fuck. I don't know, because
The cactus down there, peyote or something, isn't it?
Yeah. So I can imagine. I can imagine it's a pretty trippy experience.
Put this shit on the walls, man. It looks crazy.
That's fucking nuts.
So I'm sure they were all tripping balls as they went down that thing, and I'm sure it was a pretty cool experience. I'd probably be a little bit claustrophobic myself, but fuck, like, I don't know. That's your job, and you're a high priest of Teotihuacan. Like, hey, shit. Whatever.
If that's your religion, to like observe. Like pretty much observe the stars and worship the stars, and you recreate like that in an underground tunnel. This is badass.
Everyone would be so impressed with
pop
you.
A little peyote down the tunnel. You go crawling down. Yeah,
come into my water tunnel.
Yeah, with my mercury.
Dip your grotto. All gonna lay in
dip your toes in my mercury. Look at
chill
my pyrite.
My mercury grotto. What's up? Yeah.
Okay, so let's move up the Avenue of the Dead. So there's the three main temples, and there's a bunch of other stuff, but we'll probably only talk about the three main because they're the most significant. So as you exit the temple of Quetzalcoatl, or the feathered serpent, you then venture up. It's a 2.2 kilometer venture, or the whole thing's 2.2, but to the Pyramid of the Sun is like 1.6 or something. And the Pyramid of the Sun is the biggest pyramid in the Western Hemisphere. And the
enhanced
in the third in the world behind the Great Pyramid and the Second Pyramid of Giza.
Yeah, that's a big old pyramid.
I think I got a 3D button here. What happens if we go 3D? Oh shit! Ooh, oh, we go 3D.
Oh shit!
So if you're watching
the live tech up in this bitch,
holy smokes!
If you're not watching the live stream and you've never seen a picture
you're
of the pyramid of the sun, it is a step pyramid with a. It's as we said, the same like baseline as the Great Pyramid of Giza. And it steps up, and you can actually still climb this one legally without having to grease the guards and jump up the backside or anything like that. So, and this is a fucking cool looking pyramid, man. And it's not made with the same like giant stone structures as other pyramids, but it definitely is beyond comprehension for the time, especially in that region of the world. You know, you had like the Romans and Greeks had been building crazy shit with gigantic megaliths for a long time, but you don't really have, if you follow the timeline of North American settlement or of like the Americas, North and South America, they say like they came across the land bridge and they filtered down and they eventually made their way down to South America and set up shop. But you see stuff in South America that is way more megalithic in nature than this, but you don't see anything as tall or as big as the Pyramid of the Sun at Teotihuacan.
And I think people, it's one of those things too, when you look at the pictures of this, and I'm sure I've never been there, but it's definitely on my list. But like, even when I look at the pictures, some of those structures, I mean, they look like landing pads. And after being to Chichen Itza, when you're looking at some of them, you're like, all right, there's this. And then you're like, then there's this just perfectly flat, like square. I'm like, this, like, to me and my brain, like knowing where helicopters and stuff land, looks like a landing pad.
It does.
And then you look at this structure and they have one like right in the middle where you would like land and then like go and walk up the stairs. And, you know, like Dan said earlier, they call this the place you go to become a god?
City of gods.
What if it's the place where you go because you get taken away by the gods?
The city of the gods. Yeah, the aliens, buddy. There you go. Building this shit.
Right. And when you look at these structures now, yeah, they're very flat. They look like they could be perhaps used as a landing pad. But back then, a lot of archaeologists are saying that they do have evidence showing that these structures would have been covered, not just these, because what we're seeing right now is just the stone. We're seeing the stone and the dirt that's there now. Before, these probably would have been covered with additional wooden structures. Painted wooden structures would have went over the the temples themselves.
Yeah.
Well, and also, like, I think it's more so, it's not to take you up, you know, to see the gods. I think it's to take you down into these caves. You're going to fucking take a little bit of this peyote. You're going to look at these fucking cool stars, and then you're going to become a fucking god because you're fucked out of your tree.
Ascend to goddom.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that 100%. Send you a little space travel. Pew, 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 pew. Underneath, looking at the stars.
Fuck yeah, buddy. Little lasers.
Dip you in the fucking mercury. Yeah. Probably has some added effects.
Dip your toes in mercury. Get a little mercury poisoning at the same time doing peyote. Maybe there's some type of connection in there that we don't know about. I'm not recommending doing...
The worm is the Stargate gold.
Don't break open your thermometers and do any mercury. That's a stupid idea.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't do that.
Definitely don't do that.
I saw Braden do it once, and he kept walking around screaming, "I'm a golden god." So it makes sense.
Yeah. This is true. That was just a regular Saturday.
I'm pretty sure the Temple of the Sun has that special thing about it where it's like it was built to align itself. I'm pretty sure with the mountain that's in the back of it, right? Pretty sure there's a large mountain that sits in the back, and now they do know that a lot of Mesoamerican cultures did revere the land, and they always tried to build their temples to kind of resemble mountains because they considered mountains sacred, and that's why most of their temples have chambers that are underneath, because caves are also considered sacred. Even the Aztec culture, their creation myth or their origin story was that they were the seven tribes of the Aztecs came from seven underground chambers that were underneath a mountain. And that's where they had originated from. So the Temple of the Sun is also interesting because they built it so it would align itself with the rising of the sun on the day that intersects with their ritual calendar and the solar calendar. The ritual calendar was, I think it's like 205 days, which is where they would have their feasts and their religious ceremonies, rituals, things like that. And then they had the regular solar calendar, 365 days. And then when on those two calendars, when they intersected, that's when the sun would rise over the Temple of the Sun.
Yeah. So what I read from Graham Hancock, he's super into it. So he says that the Avenue of the Dead, which all the pyramids and stuff align, is built at 15.5 degrees that pointing northeast. So 15.5 off true north. And so it lines up with the two sunrise dates on February 11th and October 29th, and the sun sets on October 13th and April 30th, and those are separated by periods of 260 days and creating a 260-day astronomical calendar cycle, which is a feature of many Mesoamerican cultures. So this was this whole site was, whichever way you look at it, is done purposefully built that way altogether, which is bananas.
Which still boggles the mind at how these ancient, people working with stones and stuff who are high on peyote, swimming in fucking liquid mercury, are building these structures that perfectly line up like this. I'm just saying the feet and the mathematics and stuff to like be this precise back then. It's still every time I think about it, and having some construction background. And if you were like, all right, Brayden, like we need you and Zelda build a house, and the point is going to be perfectly aligned with the sun on this day. And we're like,
yeah, okay.
All right, so like, okay. And I'd be like, so I guess we have to wait till that day to see, like, get some measurements at that day. And then hopefully we do it right and we won't know for another year.
Well, that's the thing. Like,
it just blows me away.
That's the thing that they've had. These cultures, like, if you go with that, they don't really have a lot to do at night, which we've talked about a lot. And you're always staring at the stars and you're tracking sunsets and you got your people always for hundreds of years. Let's say for 200 years, you calculate. You probably have a rough idea. So as long as if you knew that before the construction started, I could see you'd be able to build it. Because if you could map those two points with a really, really long rope, a big straight line, and you build off that line, you could get it pretty close. But to be able to figure it out that precisely in the first place would be fucking crazy.
I mean, like you said, yeah, you got nothing else to do at night. Like, I can't even, it's hard for me to comprehend.
You got peyote. You got peyote to do.
Not everybody has peyote. In the, like, that's maybe the high priest have peyote.
High priest peyote.
It's not like everywhere. But I imagine, like, you know, they would stare at the night sky the way that we watch TV at night. You know, they're outside and they, you know, when you watch the sky long enough, you will be able to see like the brightest bodies, like where they put it, especially the planets or especially bright planet like Venus. You'd be able to see that Venus doesn't track the same as the other stars.
I mean,
you know, you can see it, oh, it's over here today, as opposed to it was over there, you know, 3 days ago or a month ago. And you know, for them, that's like probably the fucking, you know, that's their Rick and Morty. It's watching
and think about it too, right? Because you're going to have, out of how many of those people that are sitting there staring at the sky, there's going to be a fucking Elon Musk and a Bill Gates of that fucking time that could come up with some fucking rad shit. You're going to have a Maester Dan staring at the stars coming up with cool ideas.
Yeah, but I'm going to say you're overwhelmingly average is going to be your Brayden, Andrew, and Zells.
Yeah, and we're the guys that they're going to be like, hey, go do this.
Cracking jokes. Well, listen, if they told us to go do this, it's not getting done. First off, we're going to chew a bunch of spits, and we're going to air guitar to Freebird.
All the time.
But nothing's getting done properly.
Yeah, you're talking at construction projects here that like we do not have. In modern
and
times.
That's why we would find your bodies in the sacrifice pits.
100%. 100%. But that's like, if you built it and you say, oh, I got
along
nothing
with
time.
All
but
your
if you build
spits
it, yeah, just a pile, a mound of spits, dill pickles.
Just bones.
Zell would be stoned on peyote.
Yeah.
I'd be the king of peyote.
But if you built these things, you built the structures, it's, and like, I get it, but I don't see that these structures being like, you put them together, then you're like, oh, you know what? We were close, but we fucked it up.
Yeah.
Tear it down, I guess. What? Like, it seems like such a huge project that like, it doesn't seem feasible to me that you would see that them fucking it up and being like, well, it just seems so out of, when I look at these things and know the time, I'm like, it just still seems out of reach for those civilizations to build these things to me.
It 100% does, just because the sheer amount of work to build them. Like you're,
yeah, no pack animals, no wheel, that, no large machinery.
That's,
you know,
what they say.
No metal tools.
That's what they say. Yet you manage to, I don't know how many, I don't know if anyone's done an estimate of how many fucking stones are cut into that pyramid, all joined together by mortar and the step, you know what's the most precise thing on this thing is the steps. The steps are equal top to bottom within like, you know, you ever been on like a staircase where you trip on the step because it was a 1 inch taller or 1 inch shorter or something?
Yeah.
They don't have that on this.
They didn't have tape measures or levels.
Well, they had, measuring devices.
They didn't have a standard of measurement though.
Yeah, they had something.
Yeah, it's probably some guy's leg bone. No,
well, they said that they found out, you know, they've calculated out to be where it would be from your heart out to the length of your middle finger is what they considered a standard of measurement.
It was their unit.
Somewhere around,
yeah.
I forgot what they said, how many,
yeah.
average of what it would be.
Yeah, but it's going to differentiate per person.
Right. It was like, yeah, I know. But that was the thing. It was like, so it was a little bit, you know, off a little bit, but that was their standard of measurement.
So one of those guys would last about two steps and then he'd die because it would take you about 100 years to fucking do it.
Well, I'm sure back then, you know, probably their diets were a lot more uniform. They didn't have that much variation. So I'm sure people were about the same, especially if it's a mostly homogenous culture. So I would assume that like most of the people would actually be
much less dynamic range of height and weight probably back then.
Yeah, you wouldn't have, I don't think you'd have the supreme variation like we have today where it's like, yeah, like, you know, NBA players and then you've got like
us,
Andrew.
Well,
I have a feeling like,
fucker.
I also have a feeling like bullying back then, if you were like Andre the Giant back then, you would have been like stoned to death or something. Like you would have been picked on.
Yeah, you're too big.
For being so different.
You're too big.
You're too different. Yeah. And if you were too short, like same thing. Like I don't think, you know, like just even if just we're just pack animals, we pick on what's different. So if you were too different back then, I think your chances of staying out of the spits pile is slim to none.
Anyways, I found the Teotihuacan unit is 32, roughly translates to 32.68 inches or 0.83 of a meter. One unit.
Yeah, that seems about right. 0.83, like.
So they say. Graham Hancock also says that roughly it's about 260 units. Each side is the base of this pyramid, which is the same amount of days between the sunsets and sunrise of the calendar that they use.
Get out the fuck out of here!
So
get the hell out of there with these measurements.
What? And like you find that a lot of them, a lot of repeating. Like they find a pattern and they'll put that pattern into what they're doing because that's what they base their religion or their philosophy off of.
Like, yeah, when you're building these temples on the premise that you're like, if we get this wrong, the entire world is gonna fucking end. If you fuck this up,
You know what? I think they fucked it up, Dan. I think they fucked it up.
They must.
We're paying the consequences.
Because they're all gone.
They're gone. They fucked it up. They didn't quite get it right. They
fucked it up big time. It's still like
somebody's finger was a little too long.
Yeah. And over the scale of the pyramid, it's all fucked. It's all jiggity jank. That's all it would take.
Well, you know what? One of the pyramids, I read that there was not a perfect square, so someone got killed for that for sure. Used the wrong measurement.
You don't think fucking Montezuma rolled up and was like, nah, you guys fucked it up. Start from scratch. Kill this guy.
Fuck, probably.
100%.
I still am a firm believer of all those. The pyramids and stuff are either some sort of, the building blocks for them were done by an ancient civilization. Like even further than that, of some technology that's lost in history. Because these, I mean, I get we're a very smart civilization and like very crafty species, but I every time I look at these things, even when we went to Chichen Itza, I'm like, motherfucker, and they're doing the
claps,
echoes across. I'm like, how the time it would take to not only build this, but to craft all these little intricacies seems too much.
It seems to, so much without power, without like energy, you know?
Yeah. And then you go see some of the other structures that are around and you're like, okay, this seems more like us and it's all shitty. And like, so it looks like someone was like, oh, this piece will fucking fit. Ah, whatever. I'm like, it looks like it. I'm like, I recognize the work. Do you know what I mean? Where you're like, it's good enough. That's what it looks like. And these other things are so pristine. I'm just like, my brain just will not buy into that these ancient civilizations built these themselves with no help, just chiseling shit day in, day out, measuring from their fingertip to their heart. Like it doesn't add up for me.
But what you're saying, like we have those variations in people today, people that can create amazing things and have fucking minds that regular people can't even fathom. You know what I mean?
Well, it's one thing to come up with it.
Pieces of shit like us.
It's one thing to come up with it and then enact a mobilize an army of workers who are skilled and then put it together perfectly.
Yeah, but you have these people fucking terrified. They're going to do whatever the fuck you want. They're under your thumb. What you say fucking
They don't know that, though. They don't know that these people are terrified.
They say inspired.
There's no documented evidence that this was slave-driven or this was just people who love building. They have no idea.
Come help us out. If you don't want to help us out, that's fine. Meet us down in the caves. We're going to do a sacrifice later. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Come to our star caves.
Yeah, no big deal.
Swim in our mercury pool.
Oh, death, okay. I'm going to stay up here and build this.
Yeah. Okay, if you want to.
Yeah. They did. Yeah. Again, like we said, they did find evidence of human sacrifices. They found that a lot of the human sacrifices seemed to be military age. There were a lot of, a majority was males. They said they could date the bones from 18 to 40 in age. And they said that judging by the bone composition and the mineral composition within the bones, they said that they were people that were not native to that area. So they assumed that they were either war captives or, you know, prisoners of some sort.
Right.
Huh. Dude, I still think something helped them and then they left. And these, whatever was there, the stories were passed down of something being there, and they were just trying to figure out how to like bring them back.
So also too, I was thinking, like, I know like the conquistadors, when they went around these ancient civilizations and like the ruins and stuff like that, and they'd destroy a lot of the stuff because they wanted to disprove any like previous intelligent cultures and anything like that. Is there any evidence of anything like that at this fucking site?
There was a great battle there, actually, where with Cortez and crew were outnumbered, and they were standing on the mound of Teotihuacan.
And they, badass.
They were, that's the story I read, is they were standing on the mound as this like army approached, and they had horseback, and they ended up charging and killing a few people and getting away. But the story is that they were standing on this mound, and that's the reason the army was so mad, because they knew this was like a magical structure, like magical place. But they stood on it like it was no big deal. That's the only story I could find, and I don't know if it
was
true.
They did say, you know, there is some evidence that they said that the city had been either sacked or there had been some sort of revolt.
Uprising or something.
Uprising at some point. I know there was damage done to the Temple of the Feathered Serpent. They said that there was perhaps some sort of, there was a defacing of the monument. There's a lot of the sculptures from one side had been removed violently at some point. They also said that there was evidence of looting, like widespread looting.
Sounds like conquistador is written all over it.
Yeah, maybe.
They did. They robbed all the tombs, broke all the fucking statues and shit like that.
Took the gold.
Yeah.
Stripped the gold out.
Except, that city was abandoned
previously, long before, yeah. They didn't
like 600 years.
I heard they had squatters,
800
though.
Years.
They had like random squatters that'd be hanging out. There's a little tent city in fucking Teotihuacan.
A couple boa constrictors in the roof of the tent hanging out.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's go to the last temple, the last big temple, the last pyramid of Teotihuacan. If you go up northeast, up the road of the Avenue of the Dead, you get to the Pyramid of the Moon. So let's do a little, if you're not watching live stream, do a little 3D. This one it has not been restored as much, yet it looks like the same pyramid as the Pyramid of the Sun, but 30% smaller, pretty much. Step pyramid.
Is it the... Now, here's just a curious question. Is it smaller than the sun one because the moon is smaller than the sun?
I didn't read that, but yes, I mean that. I mean, naming them the pyramid of the sun and the moon, I think, is more of a Western culture thing more than anything.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they definitely wouldn't have known that. They would have thought the moon was the same size, because if you had a solar eclipse, it completely covers the sun. So, I mean, they would have probably assumed that they're the same size.
It would make sense. You didn't have telescopes or satellites or anything.
You didn't have levels. You didn't have a bunch of shit, and they were doing crazy stuff. So,
yeah. So the pyramid. I mean, those are the three main pyramids. The pyramid of the Quetzalcoatl, like the feathered serpent, is the cool one because they found the possible Mercury and the actual like the representation of space in a tunnel, like with the fucking pyrite and stuff. Like that's just really cool, and they never even. That's a relatively new discovery in archaeological archaeological times. It's only
2003,
and then released in what 2000?
No, 2003 is when they found the sinkhole when they actually started it. They didn't excavate that tunnel till like 2013, 2014.
Well, that's when they finally released their findings because they didn't want to release before they had like a scientific. Something right. to go but on.
They were still digging that thing out because I watched the videos of like when the early days of when they were digging it out and they were trying to like send remote control cars down the tunnel and things like that because the tunnel was completely filled at some point because they're saying that maybe at some point the tunnel itself had been sealed off.
Well, yeah, it looked like
intentionally.
To them, it looked like there was stones blocking the entrance and the exit of the tunnel kind of thing. So you couldn't actually get through the tunnel.
From the inside.
From the inside?
Yeah, they had to remove a ton of rock out of there.
They were doing like 2 inches a day excavation, like depth-wise, like 2 inches by hand with like a fucking hammer, chisel, and hoe.
They were sieving everything, like everything. Like as soon as they took a, like you,
they did,
you take a shovel and then you got to shake it out.
Let's just say they did a better job than the Bosnian pyramids.
Yeah. Is there not a mini putt there now?
Yeah, I'm not sure if there's a mini putt or not.
Where are my healing caves?
There might be a mini putt, but it's off. If there's a mini putt, it's off site a little bit, not right there.
Well, if it doesn't have go karts, I don't want to go.
No. I want to talk about one more thing before we do our final wrap up because there is one thing that doesn't make sense in the human timeline, and that
there's a whole bunch of things. But
there's one particular thing is that they found. Mica, which Dan, what is mica? Do you really know what it is? It's a type of it's a hard mineral.
Yeah, it's a hard mineral. Mica is a it's remarkable in its resistance to heat. I know they use different forms of mica in electronics production. It's also in that area. It's also judged to be remarkably rare.
Yeah, a lot of people say that the mica, which is found in every temple and every pyramid at Teotihuacan, they can trace that mica back to Brazil, 3,000 kilometers away. So that it starts.
So they're trucking whatever. So like they knew it was rare and they had a use for it.
Well, it leads you down the theory that these cultures were not so separated as previously thought. Like there was actually may have been like a long trade route where, you know, right now, because if you go with the current thing, it's like, yeah, they were there. The Mayans were there. The Aztecs were there. And they, you know, they built the cultures and they fell from starvation or uprisings or war, blah, blah, blah. But no one has ever really made the connection that, well, maybe because of temples are so similar from, you know, northern Mexico all the way to fucking... deep into South America, that maybe that was actually not a spanning empire, but a spanning like trade route. Like they traded, like had a, like building secrets and minerals and a whole bunch of stuff that previously may have not been known. And finding this mica in all these temples and chambers and pyramids kind of leads you down that road. Like, okay, well, if they have that much, it wasn't like because if they're building these over 200 years, which is they may have been, it wasn't just a thing that they just got real quick.
Well, so is this one of those things where like this mica, putting it like, say if you're putting it on walls and stuff, you say it's heat resistant, would it keep a room cooler?
That's a good question.
There was also, too, with your thought, Zell, they found fucking turquoise there, which is not native to that fucking land at all. They recently turquoise? Found a bunch of turquoise artifacts.
A jade. Jade, right? Not
also jade.
Turquoise and jade's the same thing, is it not?
No, it's not.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, but
no, turquoise is a semi-precious stone.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is the color of jade is fucking turquoise, is it not?
That's what I thought.
Yeah, so they found turquoise-colored fucking artifacts.
No, I mean, there's turquoise and jade. They found turquoise and jade at Teotihuacan.
Oh, I always thought turquoise was the color. Yeah. I always thought turquoise was the color and jade was the mineral.
No, there's turquoise stone, which they were known for, is putting in their jewelry, and jadeite. There is jade in South America, Mesoamerica, but they were known for that. And they're saying that's probably one of the reasons that Teotihuacan was so wealthy. It was actually like a huge wealthy because or a huge amount of wealth because they were able to import all of these minerals, semi-precious stones from different areas because they're judging that the Teotihuacano culture perhaps had spread out or they had installed kings. I know they had said that at some point some Mayan stelas depict like foreigners coming in from different areas. They would say from the west, like in Tikal and Copan, those cities further down south. And they said that they came in there and they took over those cities. And there, people are judging. You know, archaeologists are saying that perhaps it was the Teotihuacanos coming in and installing their own rulers in these city states. And so then they built this huge trade network spanning from almost about the border of what is now between Mexico and the United States all the way down to at least Guatemala and perhaps even as far as Brazil now.
Installing governments. So they were just doing the exact same thing we're doing now.
Ancient America, ancient USA.
Yes, they were ancient America because they were ancient Mesoamerica. So yes,
but I mean, like, we talked about like as it being a New York City, like a melting point, like a melting pot. That makes sense if it was a like vast sprawling trade network, because people would be like, oh, Teotihuacan, that's the place to be. Let's fucking get up there. Bring your business with you. Establish trade networks to your home country, your home whatever. Makes sense. It makes sense that that place would be so advanced compared to most places around there. I mean, there was Chichen Itza and a few other like big sacred sites, but that's the Temple of the Sun and Moon are just like vastly bigger than anything else around there. It's cool. All around, just a cool place. And I hope when we can eventually go back, unless all the airlines go bankrupt. It's a long drive.
It's a long drive. Taking the bus.
Final thoughts. Did they make it? What do you think where it came from?
Okay, I'll start it off. I think that, well, it seems that the Aztecs and stuff stumbled upon Teotihuacan and repurposed it, but the original builders, no one really knows. And it makes me think that there was, I almost want to go with like an ancient advanced civilization wiped out from cataclysm, like Graham Hancock and that theory of like global cataclysm, like wiping someone out. And like they built this awesome shit because it doesn't seem to fit with like, especially if you don't have a wheel. You don't have steel tools. You don't have really any. You don't really have stuff that you should need to build a project of that scale. Yet it's there. So it makes me feel like someone built it, lost from history, and then rediscovered and repurposed for like a newer civilization. That's what I think.
I 100% agree. I think whatever was there was found, and these civilizations unlocked some of the secrets of like the, you know, the calendar days and whatever, and they based their religions on these structures and the mathematics put into them because they were like, look at these things, look at like where they are. Like they were, if you stumbled upon that in the woods, you'd be like, holy shit, like we've discovered, this has got to be where God lives, right? 100%.
For sure.
Look at this. And that's why these were such places of worship and stuff. But I don't think these civilizations that we think were involved in them were involved at all. I think, as we've talked about it with Egypt and other pyramids and ancient civilizations, I think these places were long abandoned, rediscovered, and basically graffitied by these civilizations that found them.
Possibly. Andrew?
I mean, that's, with all the reading I did, that's kind of what led me to believe, like, but that I was reading biased fucking, you know what I mean, perspectives on it, so it's kind of hard to say. But like,
oh, we know what you mean.
Oh shit, sorry, you picking up what I'm putting down? Is that better? Here's a shovel. Can you dig it?
Can you dig it?
But from, you know what I mean? My firsthand experience, seeing Chichen Itza, like I, you know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
You know what I know what you mean.
I've never seen anything created like that by man before. And I try to stay away from, you know,
aliens,
giving everything to aliens, but like I blew my mind, man.
It seems extraterrestrial. That's how
I just can't fathom human beings creating something like that.
I will say this again. Coming through the woods and seeing Chichen Itza, it doesn't look real.
No.
No.
When you're coming through the trees, I was like, God damn, that is, we like right away, you see that, you take a look at the structures around and you go, yep, that's us. And you see the actual Chichen Itza and you go, no. This doesn't, like, one of these things is not like the other.
Yeah, it's
crazy.
That
was the first time in my life where I actually thought that there is a possibility for extraterrestrial life. Like, legitimately. Like, this doesn't make sense to me. This does not compute.
Dan, what do you think?
I think Teotihuacan is an extraordinarily mysterious archaeological site. They really have no, I mean, again, they don't have a full picture of what and who or what or who actually built the city. The only evidence that we can go off is the physical artifacts that they can find, and there's no writing. They think they have a hieroglyphic language, but it hasn't been deciphered yet. The only real records of you know, historical value are the murals that they have found around the city that have been preserved in that semi-arid environment, luckily for us, fortunately for us. So now what you can... I think we vastly underestimate ancient cultures a lot.
Yep.
Because it's very difficult to kind of put yourself, anybody really, to put yourself in the shoes of how these people lived and how they thought back then.
And how fucking bored they were.
How fucking bored they were.
They had peyote.
How much of their existence, their, you know, their reason for living, they connected with the movement of heavenly bodies, with the land, you know, with signs or what they interpreted in their surroundings. I think it's very difficult for us to see that today, or kind of put yourself in their shoes, or not shoes. They probably didn't wear shoes.
The flip flops.
So that complex sat abandoned for 600 years, something like that. Like 600 years, nobody lived there.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I try to put that in my head to, you know, how can you conceive of 600 years, you know, in that area? It's hard. It's hard to put in especially not like an area that's like Rome or, you know, where there's a bunch of cultures all kind of mixed together. That area was like notoriously like just dudes fighting it out every day. Aztec, Maya, just like you got one culture sweeps in, takes everything out, you know,
next one rises up,
fuck shit up, volcano explodes. Okay. And then another culture comes in.
You thought 2020 was bad. Explodes.
Yeah. Look at like, 200 AD. That was a really bad year.
Yeah. It lasted 2020 back then lasted for hundreds of years.
Yeah. The whole time. It's the longer than the entire existence of America. Like, you know, yeah, the United
and
States.
I don't,
it's crazy.
I don't think people appreciate like that culture, culturally, that area. And like, also, I wasn't really aware that Mexico was that volcanically active.
Yeah, they got some,
you know,
big
where they
volcanoes.
Had two significant volcanic eruptions in such a short amount of time, geologically.
But again, we got to think of it this way. You know, we've made the comparison that this is like the New York City, the like the melting pot of the area. Now imagine New York City was just left abandoned for 600 years to be found. by another civilization. It's crazy to me that it's just abandoned. Like, it's just forgotten about.
Yep.
Right? Like, everyone, every single person leaves, and just no one stumbles upon it for 600 years. It's just left.
If New York City was abandoned for 600 years, and, like, the pump stopped working, and the floods came in, those, all those skyscrapers would tumble to the ground, be covered in God knows what. After 600 years, it'd be a big mound of nothing.
Listen. Yeah, and if people moved out of the city, imagine, like, if you didn't have horses, you didn't have the wheel, like, you know, people aren't going to go that far out of their way to explore everything.
You know what else you have? You have fucking snakes and jaguars. I'm not going in those fucking bushes.
Fuck jaguars.
These are also things that exist.
Staying home.
That's the thing for me. I'm like, them just vanishing out of this huge city for back in the time and just like gone and just to be left. Like, to me, that is the biggest mystery of how that happens. Like, imagine being the last person, you're fucking turning the lights off of fucking Teotihuacan. You're like, well,
it's been a good run.
We tried to make a go of it.
Yeah, it's bananas.
Put in your little fucking bindle and hike down the railroad tracks.
I think it's a great mystery. And of course, since we don't know really who did it, you can plug anything in there and you can tell me, like, you know.
Aliens scooped them all up.
You can give
up.
Me your best aliens. Guess, your best educated guess that is these cultures that moved in here. But I'd be like, but you're not saying it wasn't like some percentage aliens. Like,
can't say it. You can't say it. You can't say it. Any of these fucking structures.
100%.
Anyways, studying this one has made me want to venture down some other awesome ancient ruins, especially in like South America, like Bolivia and like all those areas, like Pumapunco and like. You know, I didn't get to go. I was scheduled to go, but because of the whole shit, didn't get to go to Machu Picchu and Cusco and like Sacsayhuaman, the gigantic fortress.
Sexy human?
Sexy human.
Sexy human.
The gigantic fortresses of Peru.
What kind of fucking club were you going to? Fucking.
I'm telling you, these fucking stones. Dude, these stones in Peru and other places are beyond mind-boggling, and we'll get to them eventually, but is that all we got for Teotihuacan for today?
Let's go. Let's get into some space news.
Space news.
This is an interesting, with all the new private companies going to space, all the satellites going in, all the countries going into space, trips to the moon, trips to the Mars, hotels in space. NASA has just released, and this is a badass name, the Artemis Accords. And this is the guidelines for humans to abide by in space.
In space.
So this is basically just sets of guidelines of, you know, what to do. And it's basically saying that they want to broker peace in space. I'm sure this will go over well and be followed by everyone involved. But they want like all technology that to go in space and make these space travels happen, to be shared with every other nation. And the technologies should be compatible like the ISS where, you know, you can build off stuff and just a sharing of information and research found and just an overall, a helping community moving forward.
Yeah. It's based off the Outer Space Treaty of 1967. Pretty much saying that all commercial activities should be available for all human use equally. So pretty much no one could take advantage of space. And you know that's not going to happen, but they're trying to do it.
Yeah,
they're trying to do
it. I mean, it's a cool name and it's a good, like it's, you read it and you're like, yeah, we should do that. Are we going to do that? Nah. As soon as there's a profit to be made, that's out the fucking window.
Space oil.
Yeah.
Hydrogen.
As soon as we start mining that sweet, sweet dark matter.
I told you. Moon spices. When we find the spices, those delicious, delicious moon spices.
Yeah. Just makes everything
helium
taste
3.
Like cheese.
And
helium 3.
All you know, as soon as that fucking
the
shit happens.
Of the lunar wars.
Big space is going to take over. That's game over.
Big space spice.
In conjunction with Big Spice.
Yeah.
Thousands of new satellites are scheduled to enter orbit. And Astronomers are worried. Earth is becoming increasingly congested with more than 2,200 satellite launches to date. The issue now is that with all these 400 Starlink satellites, it's making it hard for astronomers to view and study the stars because
they're
a lot
so
of these satellites are bright in the sky and are interfering with scientific apparatuses.
Yeah, those satellites are so bright in videos that people show. They're like, look at this. There's like a fucking row of like 150 lights. It's like blasting in a straight line across the horizon. Like, whew.
Then I would say to those astronomers who are working from Earth-based telescopes, if you want to see the stars, get to the moon, nerds.
Yeah.
Get us to the moon already. Fuck.
Yeah.
Let's go back.
Let's get a moon base going. No better place than the dark side of the moon to look at the stars.
Get on it.
Well, it's not dark all the time, though. It gets shined on. But yes. Get out in space is the best place to view the galaxy.
Space is the place.
Space is the place. Anything else for space news?
I got one more. One more? Living on the space station leaves microbial?
Yeah.
Close enough.
Fingerprint on astronauts. So basically, if you're saying that you lived on the ISS, scientists can prove it. You've got some sort of marker on you that says so. All those flat Earth people start buying the tests. Put what do they call the astronauts again? Astronauts, right? Now we can do a test.
Is that a thing? That's really a thing.
Don't you remember David Weiss saying that? David Weiss said that.
Astronauts.
He said, oh, you mean astronauts. And I was like, excellent.
Yeah, I guess from this thing they can
good one.
They can tell from like your gut bacteria to like microorganisms on your skin if you've been in space or not, is what this article is saying from sciencealert.com. Right. I don't exactly know, but yeah, let's get a test. Let's fucking do it. There you go.
Yeah. It's mainly they're saying that it might be attributed to the diet that they have on the space station. They have apparently the space astronauts eat pretty good on the space station. They have like over 200 options of food or something like that.
Yeah, but it's all in a toothpaste tube.
It's still cool. It's convenient. I mean, whatever.
True.
I guess they eat pretty good up there, and that they said that this potentially the gut microbes, since your whole gut biome. There's a whole bunch of research going into that where it dictates everything from like your mental state to your immune system. And yeah. So they're saying that this is kind of exciting to be like, well, you know, maybe this is you can be optimistic and say that this will the increased microbial, you know, biome, whatever inside your stomach will help you be more resistant to infections or
space
things
AIDS.
Like that.
Space AIDS. Yeah.
Space.
Cool. Now, space is not the place for AIDS.
Not if there's
and,
AIDS.
Unfortunately, there's no meteor coming to wipe us off the Earth in 2020 so far.
Not yet.
Unfortunately,
not if you read the express.co.uk. It's just a meteor.
To end this grueling year.
Week.
Yeah, something just come down here and wipe us out.
In this painful year. We're gonna have I'm just waiting. Like May's been rough. What's June got? Bring it on.
Murder hornets. Oh wait, we already have
fuck
those.
Murder hornets. We already had those. I don't even care about murder hornets.
Zell, you got a theorite of the week?
Oh, we didn't talk about that before.
I got one.
Got
I
one?
Can throw one up.
Let's
there.
Do it.
Yeah. I'll give it to Randy.
Randy.
Randy's helped me. I bought a camera when I was like 18. And I fell out of love with taking pictures. I always wanted to take astrophotography. She got me back into it, helped me get my settings all set up. And I took a picture of the Big Dipper.
It's really good.
It's not that great, but it's pretty good. I was happy with it. So now I got to wait for it was a full moon out too. It wasn't the ideal settings, but I got it. I got the Big Dipper. I had to use a lawn chair to set up the camera. It was a big process. But Randy helped me all through the way. So thanks, Randy. You're our theorite of the week.
Oh yeah. All right, I'm going to read our newest supporters of the show, newest patrons. If you want some bonus content, after hours, and a bunch of other stuff, head over to patreon.com/alientheoristtheorizing. These are the newest supporters of the show. We have Bryce Crutcher, Sabus, Fake, Kira, Chuck, and Chris Nolan. You can do that if you want to share. We're not going to stop you. If you want to team up and share a Patreon, no big deal. Will Wainick, Lamar Scrotum, he wrote it, or she, someone wrote Lamar.
Come on, Zell.
Lamar Scrotum, that's a Come real on, word. That's Zell. Really on here. Lamar Scrotum.
IP Freely is next.
Oh. Laura Bailey, Devin Cartelli, Marissa, Angela Tercero, Cody Dixon, Brian Y. Krozik, Brianna Lemley, Charles DaCosta, and that is it for this week. Thank you very much for supporting the show. If you're a new Patreon member and you have problems accessing the live feed, or not the live feed, your own private RSS feed where you get all your bonus stuff, make sure to send us a message and I will make sure to get you going, because it's kind of confusing if you're not familiar with Patreon/Discord. And the show, I got Band of the Week. Band is called Into the Void. I'm going to play a song of theirs called Electric Beauty. This is one of their lighter songs, but if you want to check them out, Down the Void on Spotify. They're like a hard rock band in the vein of old school Black Sabbath. But this one's a little lighter, a little easier to listen to, and this seems to be their single off their new album, which just came out this year. So check them out, Down the Void. Anything else?
No, and as we always say at the end of these, keep those eyes on the skies.
Flow through my bones. At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.